From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. In the shadow of the Market Frankfurt L in Philadelphia's Kensington neighborhood, at the center of an area ravaged by drugs and poverty, there's a recovery house called The Last Stop. It's a place where many of those in the throes of drug addiction can find hope and community. And some unusual decorations.
I mean, look, you got horns, you got motorcycle shields, you got tools, drums hanging from the ceiling.
St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, it's, well, right now it's decorated for St. Patty's Day. We decorate for all the holidays.
Reporter Joe Wolfram recently went to visit the recovery house that was started nearly 20 years ago by those who are in recovery themselves. His tour guide was Rob Reef, who showed up at The Last Stop 3 years ago trying to kick an alcohol addiction. He's been sober ever since.
I guess you call this the common area, the meeting room. That's where we hold our meetings. That there wall up front here, this here is the, anybody who's made a year puts their name up on this wall. If they've come through here, got a year in without getting high, they sign this wall.
The Last Stop doesn't have doctors, and they don't necessarily adhere to the latest in drug addiction research. But it's a community atmosphere that draws people from as far away as Florida. But The Last Stop has also racked up millions in fines and is facing a legal battle with the city. As the country continues to deal with the opioid crisis, can The Last Stop remain open for the many people seeking it out? And why does it continue to draw people when there are other treatment options? Today on The Why, The Last Stop's Last Stand. Joel Wolfram recently met with Last Stop founder Eddie Zampatella.
Eddie Z is kind of a legend in the recovery community.
Just got to talk to you two since you're the man in charge here and everyone says such wonderful things about you.
You don't listen to everybody.
He kind of looks like a pirate. He was wearing like an old Union soldier's cap from the Civil War when I met him. He has like a gold hoop nose ring, a very scraggly beard. You know, he's a strange guy. He's full of energy. He never stands still for more than a second. When you're interviewing him, it's kind of hard to get him for long stretches of time. His attention span, I think, wanes, or he, you know, thinks of something else that he needs to do at that moment.
We have a guy working on it. I don't even know. Yo, Ed, what's wrong? All right, we'll see you when you get over here. We're going to have some breakfast if you want to eat before you leave.
But, you know, in spite of all these idiosyncrasies that he has, he founded The Last Stop, which is a recovery house that holds AA and NA meetings, offers a place to stay for people who are, just getting off drugs, and does a lot of other services for people who are addicted in Kensington.
We live by example, kindness, compassion. It works. A lot of people got sober here.
So why is it called The Last Stop?
So for a lot of people who go there, it literally is what they see as the last stop. You know, this is the only option I have. It's either this or I'm going to die of my addiction. Either I come here to the last stop or I die. Eddie just draws people in. Mm-hmm. There's something magnetic about him that people describe. Rob Reef says when he came there, he didn't intend to get clean, but he was just sort of like talked into it. And just hung around. For all his craziness, Eddie is kind of a guy who seems to have a gift for connecting with people who are struggling with these very powerful addictions.
So, Joel, it really is kind of an ad hoc kind of program, right? Is there any really structured program that people come through?
It doesn't seem to be a structured program. Eddie is not a very organized guy. He's running the show. Eddie kind of has them do lots of volunteer work. And they go to the meetings that they have there. Mm-hmm. There's a meditation in the morning.
Good morning. This is morning meditation, and I'd like to open with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change.
And then there's a traditional kind of AA, NA meeting in the evening. Three nights a week, they have dinners there. But the folks that I talk to who are in the kind of residential program told me that Eddie just gives them the space and the time to work on their recovery, that he doesn't really ask a lot of them other than, like, let's go out and do some good works. And he doesn't ask for money either.
If they have something, they can chip in for electric bills. But we don't force people to get a job. If you can't work, you need more time, get it. I mean, that's not our first priority.
So, Joel, if Eddie doesn't ask for any money, where does he get his money from to run this place?
It comes from donations from people who have been through the program. They're alums. And that's it. That's what they told me anyway. We don't charge people here. All the money just comes from donations or out of our own pockets when necessary.
What do the people who come to the Last Stop say about it?
So I met a woman named Marlo Alicino.
MarloAulicino.
She was at a morning meditation that I attended there. She was homeless and addicted, living on the streets in Kensington.
Actually, honestly, I was a heroin addict, prostitute that just wanted to die.
Up until 3 years ago, when she said, you know, somebody told her about the Last Stop.
And I had nowhere to go, and a family member had said, try the Last Stop.
She showed up.
I was scared to go in, and I was crying.
And Eddie came out and talked to her and said, you know, why don't you come in?
Next thing I know, like I said, they seen things in me that I didn't see in myself. And that is like an amazing thing for someone to see something in you that you don't see in you.
Does Eddie have any kind of license to operate a house like this?
So there is no licensing for recovery houses. Mm. So the only regulations that they're subject to are building and zoning regulations that the city has. And that's what happened in this case. The city hit them with building and zoning code violations. Mm-hmm. There were a couple of different permits they didn't have. They didn't have a certificate of occupancy to use the building for meetings. And they hit them with the violations about a year and a half or so ago.
How much do they owe the city?
The fines have accumulated to the point that the Last Stop now owes them about $2 million. So that's the amount that the city is suing them for.
Oh, wow.
But the city says that they have to bring people to court all the time who aren't complying with codes, and that the purpose of this kind of litigation is just to get them to comply with the law.
Does it seem like Eddie is prepared to fight this legal battle?
Yeah, there's actually several lawyers that are working on this. They say that the city is willing to work with them, that they don't want to shut them down, that they just want to help them, you know, get up to code. But so far, the lawsuit still stands, and they haven't reached a settlement about that yet.
Once this goes to court and people know what we're doing, we're getting a lot of calls from different people, and they know what we do, I think it's going to be all worked out.
Joel, does the city of Philadelphia have any incentive to help keep places like the Last Stop open?
I think they do. I think the city doesn't want to be seen as shutting down a place that's trying to help people in addiction in a time of a huge overdose crisis. So it's a matter of, you know, the city not wanting to look like the bad guy here. But, you know, they may also feel that it is helping some people. It's impossible to go to Kensington without coming away feeling like there's just a huge need here and that really anything that you can do to help would be useful.
So, Joel, does a place like the Last Stop fill a void? Is there a need for these kind of ad hoc places?
The Last Stop started almost 20 years ago. I think what's unique about the Last Stop is that this is a place created by people in recovery for people in recovery. It's not modern medical addiction treatment. And that works for some people. And I think the city has really focused on expanding the treatment options that are available for people. But there's still people who slip through the cracks or don't want to go to one of those programs. You need to get ID and insurance and go through all this red tape to get these medical services that you need. They don't have to do that at the last stop. They can just show up and walk in the doors, and there are people there who are willing to help them. And that speaks to a lot of people who have maybe sometimes burned through other options or who feel like the typical addiction treatment approach isn't going to work for them.
So, Joel, it sounds like Eddie has all these hurdles he has to overcome. Why does he keep the last stop open?
You know, Eddie says that he's doing what he does to help others, but he says it also helps himself.
It worked for me. And here's a guy from the 70s, huffing glue, 80s, 90s, acting like an idiot. So it's working for me, so I'm still sober.
It gives him purpose, and he just wants to help people. This is the way that he's come up with to do it. He really does have complete confidence, almost to the point of denial, it seems sometimes, that things will work out in his favor, that he's on the side of good here, and that good will prevail.
Joel, thanks so much for coming in and telling us about the last stop.
Thank you.
Reporting for today's episode was supported by the Thomas Scattergood Foundation for Behavioral Health. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Benyakov and Alex Stern, with editorial direction from Katie Colinari. We had editing help on this episode from Eugene Son. Subscribe to the podcast, leave a review, and reach out on Twitter at AnnetteJH, at Shai Benyakov, and at Alex Ray Stern. We'll be back tomorrow.